thank you so much for being here. And we're starting a new series called Prayer Changes Things. And it's one of those things. I've been excited about this series. And sometimes when you do a series on prayer, people are like, oh, this is kind of the down series, and then we'll wait on the pep up series. But I think by the end of this, you guys will be so excited about what God offers us when we pray. Because this morning, I want to share with you an amazing story about what God, about really God answering prayer. And I'm going to be sharing a lot of different stories, even some stories from my life about God answering prayer. But really, my story is not the main story that's the focus. I want to center us on the story of God and what God does in and through us and how God answers prayer. And so, but I think that this message can really radically shape your family. It can really radically shape your faith, maybe even your business, maybe even your friendships. I think it can also shape your faith and even this church, and maybe even the way that we interact with people and the way that this church reaches out to the community, prayer. And so it's really a message about tremendous faith in God. And so that's what I want. That's what I hope for you this morning. And so my prayer for you is by the end of this series, by the end of this day, by the time we finish, that your dead dreams will be resurrected, that your vision of who God is will be made more clear, and that your hope will be strengthened. And maybe the Holy Spirit will pour into you in a fresh way to trust God in maybe a new way this morning. So today we're beginning a new series, Prayer Changes Things. And, you know, people oftentimes when you're going through something, they tell you, just pray about it. Just pray about it. And it's one of those things where you know, you hear it so much and you just kind of do it because you're supposed to do it. And it's one of those things where oftentimes we talk about prayer and just pray. But we oftentimes don't tell you why. And we oftentimes don't talk about why we pray. And so oftentimes when you hear a message on prayer, it's talking about one of two things. One, it's saying you need to be praying, which is true. And number two is it's telling you how to pray. And this is not a message on praying on that you should pray or how to pray, because I think that there's a more important question. If we're really honest, the primary question we're wanting to know is there's something that comes before that. The primary question we're wanting to know about prayer is, does prayer work? I mean, when we pray, does God really change things when we pray? Does something in this, the holiness of God, and as we're singing with the angels in heaven, does God really do something on this earth, in our lives right now when we pray? Does something happen? Because if it doesn't happen, then I'm wasting my time praying. I'm just doing something because I've been told to pray. And so I think oftentimes we're unaware or not sure about God changing the world around us when we pray. And so for many of us, our prayer lives are stagnant, or maybe simply we simply find that something better to do because it just isn't working. And so the primary reason for this series is I want us by the end of this time to be yearning to pray because we realize that prayer really does change things. That's what we're talking about. The scripture that we're going through this morning, it comes from Joshua chapter 10. It's in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 10. And while you're turning there, we're going to be reading verses 12 through 14. Let me just give you a little bit of context, because the Old Testament, it takes a little bit longer for them to tell stuff, you know, in order to get the idea. Sometimes it takes them chapters and chapters. So let me just sum up some stuff that's been going on to catch us up in Joshua. But the book of Joshua is an action book. This isn't like a lot of like theology and here's how it works. It's like it's an action book. It's really a story, a record of God's people inheriting what God had already promised. That God had made a promise to Joshua and to the people of Israel. But the promise first came all the way back to a person known as Abraham. And it was passed on to Jacob and Isaac, and then was passed on to Moses, and then the successor of Moses being Joshua. And so they've all been like, God has promised all this, and they know God's going to be faithful, but they haven't received it yet. And that's kind of what's going on right now. And the promise is this, that God would make them into a great nation. Number two, that God would give them descendants as numerous as the stars. And number three, this is the main one for today, that God would give them exceedingly good land. the promised land, flowing with milk and honey, and that God would drive the people who are already in that land, already inhabiting that land, out of the land so that God's people could receive the land that God promised. That's what's happened so far. And so in the book of Joshua, leading up to verse 10, the people of Israel had already traveled into this land, this exceedingly good land that they'd waited for so long to finally enter into. And they've already fought the battle of Jericho. And if you know the song where the walls came a-tumbling down, that's already happened. Right before this, in verse 8, God also made a promise to Joshua, and it was this. He said, "Do not be afraid of them." He's about to go into battle. And God says, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." And so God is fulfilling God's promise that God is making a way for his people to receive the land. And so it's here in the middle of this battle that we enter into the text, Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. I invite you to stand this morning in honor and reverence of the reading of God's word. All right. It says, "On the day of the Lord, on the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, 'O sun, stand still over Gibeon. O moon, over the valley of Ajalon.' So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. You can have a seat. Well, we're going to be focusing on this prayer of Joshua. It's kind of unconventional. It's like, what are we talking about? And this moon and sun and star, all that stuff. But it's a really awesome story of God coming through, of God answering prayer. And so the prayer that Joshua prays is this: sun, not like the son of God, but sun in the sky, stop, stand still. And moon, stop on its axis. Stop rotating, stop moving. In other words, let the day be extended. And like, this doesn't normally happen. I mean, you know, 24 hours, we see the sun and the moon, and it just keeps cycling over and over and over. And Joshua's prayer is crazy. "All right, sun, you've never done this before. You've never stopped moving before, but just stay right where you are. God, I pray this." And people are probably looking at him like, "You are nuts. That doesn't happen." And so he's uttering this, and I mean, why would he ever think? Why would he be so bold to ask God to do something that had never happened before and had not happened since? Joshua was fighting this battle that God had called him to fight. And here's what's going on. He's facing this desperate situation of uncertainty. There's war about to go on, and the enemies are about to get away. I mean, these are the people, like, if all of a sudden they get away, then maybe they won't be able to receive this, all of the land and everything that God had promised them to receive. And so the enemies are about to get away, and the sun is going down. And if the sun goes down, the enemies will be able to escape under the cloak of night. And so Joshua, instead of praying, "God, stop these people," he prays this really unorthodox prayer: "Sun, stand still. Sun, stand still." And if it were me, I mean, I'm not, dogging on Joshua or anything. If it were me and I'm like praying in this situation, I think I'd be like, "God, please let these people, like, you know, hold them back somehow." I wouldn't be praying for the sun to stop. That doesn't happen. That's not normal. And so, it wasn't Joshua's prayer. Joshua's prayer was very different, though. It wasn't, "God, pretty please help me win. God, pretty please help me to be victorious." It wasn't anything like that. It was so incredibly bold that he prays, "Sun, stand still." And somehow God does it. God does it. And it's one of those weird things that there's never been a day like it before or after. And it was marked by, it was a day marked by God moving because somebody prayed. Now, I know I want to ask you kind of a question this morning. What are the impossible things in your life that God wants to accomplish? What are the impossible things in your life right now that God wants to accomplish? And maybe there's a big barrier at work, or maybe something in your family situation. What are the big, big impossible things in your life that God wants to accomplish? Now, I don't mean to pry or anything like that. And of course, I don't know what all you're going through and stuff like that. But here's what I know. is that we worship a God who is so big and so powerful that he can stop the sun on its axis. That God can do anything, that God is able to do anything. And so it's the same God who raised Jesus from the dead. And it's the same God who wants to do the same in me and in you, that God is so powerful. And so Joshua, you know, God answering Joshua's sun stand still prayer. That's really what it was. Sun stand still. God answering this prayer of Joshua in Joshua 10, I think is also a metaphor for our lives. So showing us something that God wants to do in and through our lives and in our prayer lives, if we'll be bold enough to ask God. Now, this isn't something that's, you know, it's one of those things where if you're on a boat and all of a sudden, it's kind of like the story of the disciples and Jesus is standing out in a lake and he's looking at the disciples. He invites one of the disciples to walk out onto the water with him. It's really safe to stand on the boat. But it's really difficult to be able to step off the boat in a place where you might sink, to risk something that maybe God isn't faithful to hold you up. But do that the same way. And as the disciple stepped out off the boat and onto the water, and they kept their eyes on Jesus, they stayed afloat. But sometimes it's like that in our prayer lives, that God invites us to step out in places that don't make sense, to pray for things that don't make sense, and to trust that God is going to carry us through. Prayer changes things. You know, so what are the big, impossible things in your life that God wants to accomplish? I mean, when we pray, God is in the business of bringing action to the world around us. God delights in answering our prayers. One of the things that we were informed of very recently, many of you know Jonathan and Brittany Maloney. They were here earlier. They're actually working with the kids this morning, but they were sharing a story of their adoption. We brought them up on stage during the spring during our adopted series, and they shared the story about God's calling to adopt a child in Ethiopia. And we've been praying for them that the paperwork would come through, because goodness gracious, it's crazy. Number two, that God would provide the finances for them. It's about $30,000 to adopt a child, and it was something that should take months and months and months. But anyway, one thing that just happened very recently, and without giving all the details because I don't know them, is they went to the mailbox a few days, well, I guess last week. They went to a mailbox and Brittany opened a card up that was written to them, and it was kind of from God. And it was one of those things where it was kind of an anonymous thing, and it had a big check in there. And he said a big check, like a big, big, big check, written to their adoption. And we've been praying, and Jonathan has been working long, long hours to be able to pay for this adoption. And we've been praying that God would provide the finances. But all of a sudden, God comes through with something that doesn't make sense, with something almost like winning the lottery. And all of a sudden, they're almost there. When what seemed to be something where it was an impossible dream, something that maybe was an impossible mountain to climb, all of a sudden is such a very real thing. And it's only because Jonathan and Brittany wanted me to let you know that it's because of the fountain and because you guys have been praying. And we've been praying and we've been praying. And when we pray, God answers. And sometimes God does it in ways that are unconventional and don't make sense. That's something that God's doing right now in the life of some people at our church. So, you know, of course, the details, the specifics are not that important. The important thing is we prayed and God answered. Pretty cool stuff. But the story of Joshua, prayer is important, because when Joshua prays for something that doesn't make sense, that seems impossible, God also delights in answering that prayer. That happens over and over and over in Scripture, and I've seen it in my life and in the lives of so many others as well. And the main questions we have about prayer are really two things. Is God willing to answer my prayer? Is one. Is God willing to answer my prayer? First of all, does God care about what I pray about? Yes. Is God willing to answer my prayer? And the second question we have about prayer is, does God have the power? And does God have the ability? And if the answer is yes to both of those things, if God really does care and God really does want to answer our prayers and God really has the power to do it, that's the thing that drives our prayer. And so instead of encouraging you and saying, I want you to pray more, just pray more, I want you to know what you have, the amazing key that God has given you through the power of prayer. That when we come in Jesus' name, we pray according to God's will, that God does things that don't make sense. The supernatural starts getting involved in the real life. It's kind of like when we take communion. It's a great example of kind of what that's like, is that we have ordinary elements of just bread and juice. That's all it is. We buy it from Publix and we bring it in. It's ordinary stuff. But somehow, as God gets involved in that, and it's not like it turns into Jesus or anything, but it's one of those things where it's all of a sudden we come and we partake of the elements, that somehow God does something in our hearts where the supernatural gets involved, the God of the universe gets involved and does something through those elements that we don't understand. It's prayer. That's how prayer works as well. God is getting involved. And so the story of Joshua is like that. And there's no scientific explanation. I mean, if you're one of the science people out there and you're trying to figure out, okay, was it an eclipse? What was it that made the star, made the sun stand still? I don't know. And I think the point of the scriptures is not to say exactly here is what happened, and this is exactly the scientific reason why it happened. I think the point is that God was faithful, that people prayed. He prayed a very bold prayer, and God answered. Both the sun and the moon were also objects that people in the surrounding areas worshipped. People would worship the sun and the moon, and they would say, "You are my God." And they would worship these. And here God is twisting that on its head and showing even the enemies who worshipped the sun and the moon that I am the Lord over all the universe. And you may worship the sun or the moon or whatever else, but I'm the God even of that. And I can even make that stop in its place because I created it as I created you. And man, as I look at my little boy Peyton in the eye and I realize the power of God and how God, you know that song, "He's got the whole world in his hands"? That's true for the sun and the moon, but it's true for me and you, that God has us in his hands. And he says that in him all things hold together in Colossians 1. In him all things hold together. And that's true for our lives. That's true for our spiritual lives. That's true for our marriages. And it's true for our families. That if we're in him, if we trust in him, if we continue pursuing Jesus, then he holds us together. But anyway, that's one of the reasons why we're called to pray. You know, Joshua saw this impossible thing that God wanted to accomplish, to display God's glory and God's goodness. And he prayed for something incredibly audacious. It was almost like he was praying like a child. Have you ever seen a child pray before? By the way, I love our kids' ministry and the stories that come out every single Sunday. They're hysterical. You know, we were talking about around our... We pray before the service with a huge team of people. And we were sharing some stories about last Sunday. And we just added another room where the pre-K, the 2 through 5s, have their own room and their own curriculum. And one of the stories came out that one of the little kids said, so what are you learning today? And one of the little kids said, "We learned to trust God above anything else." And, you know, and then they want to go get a cookie and all that stuff. And, you know, but it's the cutest things and the kids are learning so much. But have you ever heard a child pray? And when a child prays for rain, they immediately go and get an umbrella. I mean, they pray expecting God to do things. It's kind of like, Mom, Dad, get your umbrella. It's going to rain because I just prayed for rain. And we're like, "Oh, that's silly. Johnny, that's silly. Put down your umbrella. We don't do that here. But Mommy, I prayed for rain and it's going to rain." And I think Joshua was praying very much like that, praying almost like a little kid in faith. And maybe he's very smart and stuff like that, but he trusts God like a child. He trusts God that just as I hold little Peyton in his arms and I'm never going to let him go, that if I step out and if I trust God and I pray that God's going to bring rain to the land, that I'm going to have my umbrella because God's going to be faithful and going to make it rain. That's how we're called to pray. When's the last time you prayed like a little child, like Joshua, and asked for something really big? I mean, really big. Not like, "God be with me." I mean, what is that prayer? "God be with me. He's the Lord of the universe. He surrounds the circumference of the earth and he holds us in our hands." And so to say, "God be with us," is kind of a funny prayer. God calls us to ask for big things, for specific things, and to trust that God will really accomplish that. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why I had Jenny come and share about her ministry in Monterrey, Mexico, because we wanted her to come so we could pray for her. Because prayer changes things. I mean, it's not, you know, she could go to Mexico and have a great time and eat the, you know, bad food or whatever, and just have a great time in Mexico and just play with a lot of kids. But we believe that when we pray, that God will actually do something. That God will actually do something to unite little children, to unite people to Jesus, so that they can experience the life, the hope, the purpose, and the wholeness that Jesus offers. That's why we pray. Because prayer changes things. So you can just imagine, Joshua had so much faith that God was going to answer this very specific prayer. And you can imagine, like, if you're standing on the battle lines with Joshua and you're like getting ready to fight with him and he starts praying like, "All right, son, I pray that you stand still." I'd be like, "Oh my gosh, if this is what it's up to, if we're going to, I mean, we're doomed." I mean, we're going to get killed in this battle if we're praying that the sun will stand still. That's like, all right, pig, I pray that you would fly. I mean, it's one of those things. And so everybody's probably looking at him like he's nuts, but he prays. He knows so much. He believes so much in the power of God and what God will do that he's not afraid of it. And so as one Christian writer once said, the secret to almost all failure is our failure in secret prayer. You know, God wants us to pray, and God delights in answering our prayers. And maybe you're in a place right now where your prayer life is maybe boring or maybe non-existent, or maybe just in a place where it's stagnant. And I don't say that to demean or to be critical, but as a pastor, I know in my own life, I've experienced places like that. And in fact, I was at a place like that as I went off to seminary, where my prayer life was stagnant. And I'll tell you what it was. One of the coolest ways that God answered my prayer was with my wife, Mandy. Kind of the cool story here of God's faithfulness is I had basically given up on meeting my wife. I'd moved to Kentucky, and I thought, all right, that's it. I'm not going to meet anybody else. I've moved to Kentucky, I'd just kind of given that up. And I'd prayed before, but I was like, all right, God, I guess that's for another time. And maybe it's wait, or maybe it's no. You're not going to have a spouse and all this stuff. And here I was, just kind of like in a place where I was like, I'm ready, God. And I went to this prayer conference at Asbury Seminary. Peter Gregg was the speaker. He came in from England. He's in charge of the 24/7 prayer movement in England. And he was speaking, and it was one of those things, when you show up sometimes, and it's not even that the speaker's that good or whatever is going on, but God just has some divine appointment where they say something, and it wasn't even the main thing, but it just captures you. And it was like that for me, where Peter Gregg said this, whatever you ask for in prayer, God never forgets and always answers your prayer. And for me, it hit me like a ton of bricks. It was kind of like good Christian theology. I knew that stuff, but I had to be reminded, whatever we ask for in prayer, God never forgets and always answers. And for me, I realized at that point that I'd had this desire in the back of my mind that God was calling me to call it forward and to ask God again. And at the end of the worship service, they did this crazy charismatic thing where they had everybody stand up and they had the drummer beat on the drums and make no like normal music or anything like that. Just make a lot of noise. And we did this war cry. We're in this like traditional sanctuary and everything. And we did this war cry. And the war cry was this, come on, come on. And as we were supposed to just yell, come on. And I was like, all right, I'm a little uncomfortable. I'm this white boy that grew up in, traditional church and all this stuff. And yeah, I don't know if I'm supposed to do this. Well, anyway, we screamed for 2 minutes. Come on, come on. And it was, come on, God. Or, come on, let's spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Or, come on, me. You need to pursue Jesus better. But my come on was, come on, God. I'm ready for my spouse. And if I'm not ready, prepare me. Like, do whatever you need to do to prepare my heart and prepare her, God. But I'm ready. Come on. And I'm sorry I haven't been asking. I've stopped praying about it because I've given up. And I prayed about it, and I just said, come on. That was all my prayer was. Prayer life doesn't have to be all like, churchy. Pray with the desires of your heart. And God discerned that come on in my heart. And I got back to my dorm room in graduate school and had a message, a Facebook message from my now wife, Mandy. And it was one of those cool things where that was how we first connected, besides her teaching my siblings and stuff like that in school, that God used something like that to remind me that when we pray that God answers. And the rest of that is history. We just had our first baby and stuff like that. But that's how we met. And God answers prayer if we'll pray, if we're willing to come to him in prayer. And so, I mean, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain, move, and it will move. It says, nothing will be impossible for you. And I've read this scripture before, but when you read this in light of what Joshua prayed for, about the sun stopping and it literally stops. I may have read this before. Yeah, throw a mountain, tell a mountain to move and it'll move. I've never seen that before. But Joshua saw the sun literally stop in its place. And we read that and this in the context of that. I mean, I don't know what mountains are in your life right now. I don't know what things or what impossible things are before you. But I know that the scripture, what it says is true, is that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. And some of you may have experienced dreams that have been diverted or families that are in crisis. Or maybe you prayed for someone in your family to know the Lord over and over and over and over. And maybe you said, you know what, it's in the back of my mind and I'm just giving up. I want my story and the story of Joshua and the story of Jonathan and Brittany to be radiating all over. Do you realize that God answers prayer? That God isn't just a God that stays up in the cosmos, but God is not only transcendent, but he's imminent. He wants to be here with us. He works supernatural powers on this earth, even in our lives. And it happens even in mine as well. But I think it means that we have to have the audacity to ask God for big stuff. I mean, when you pray, don't pray for this small faith prayer where, you know, with an opt-out clause where you say, God, if it's your will, you know, maybe you can do this. Or, you know, so many times we pray like that. And I think the spirit behind it is good. God, we want it to be a part of your will. But we know God's will in the scripture. We can discern what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is here in the scripture. And if we pray things that God cares about, we can pray with boldness and to realize that God wants to answer it. And oftentimes, I mean, you know, notice Joshua didn't pray, pretty please, God, with the cherry on top, would you do this, God? And he didn't make a bargain with God, like, God, if you answer this prayer, I won't go to Starbucks 5 times a week, I'll go 2 times a week. He doesn't bargain with God. He just says, God, I pray this mountain would move, or I pray this sun would stop. And it's one of those things that I think God calls us to pray for even bigger things and with even more passion and with even more realization of trust in God. Pray with tremendous faith in God, praying specifically for God to move. You know, it's one of those things where as we pray very specific prayers, not God be with me, but God, I pray that as we have this huge event on September 8th, that there will be a whole lot of people that would come to the event. I pray that a lot of people would be able to see the love of Jesus by the way that we serve. I pray that lives would be connected to you forever. Or how about this? Maybe somebody you know has been struggling with some kind of addiction. And maybe one of the things you can do is you can pray the scripture. You know some things in the scripture. You can pray the scripture and you say, God, just like you called Zacchaeus out of that tree, out of the place where he was in, where he was trying to escape from his sin, God, I pray that you would call this person down. That you would call them to be with you and you would unite them forever and ever with you. When you pray, pray for big stuff. And I promise you that God will answer. We're going to be talking more about prayer, but the main thing today is I want you to think about what are the things that God wants to accomplish in your life. What are the things that God wants to accomplish in your life right now? Go to the Lord in prayer. Pray with boldness. Ask him specifically and be like that little kid holding an umbrella waiting for God to answer. Let me pray for you. And just know, as soon as the band's going to come up, and as they come up, I'll be in the back. And if anybody would like to talk about, if anybody would like to be prayed over, if anybody would like to receive Jesus, and you're saying, you know what, I want this power in my life, I want this power of the Spirit in my life, I want to know Christ in a deeper way, I'll be back there, and I'd love to pray with you. But let me pray for you, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you. I thank you so much for this word. And I thank you for the power that you give us in prayer. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would empower us to be giants in prayer. That you would help us to not pray small prayers anymore. That God, we wouldn't pray small faith prayers, but instead, God, we would pray trusting you to do things that seem impossible. And God, we've heard stories today of you answering prayers and answering prayers and answering prayers. And God, maybe we're in a place right now where we say, but God, I feel like my prayers aren't being answered. And God, I pray that for that person today, I pray that you would help them to bring that desire back to you, to continue claiming the power of Jesus. And God, I pray that you would show them your power and your strength and how you answer prayers when your people pray. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.